God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, to heal, and to forgive. He lived and he died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Jesus lives. Do you believe that? Because he lives, I can face that tomorrow. Because he lives, despite what all the CBC and NBC News say, all fear is gone. Because I know, without a doubt, I know that I know he holds my tomorrow. Hallelujah. And life is worth the living just because I know that my Jesus lives. Nor truer words were written. Thank you, Bill Gaither, for those timely words. You ever had a perfect moment in your life, besides getting married, of course?
Nice save.
Yeah, nice save, she says. Yes, I love you, my darling. It was 2019. It was the Champions Series of the NBA season. Here we go. The conclusion of the playoffs. The best of seven playoff series held from May 30th to June 13th. Eastern Conference champions, the Toronto Raptors, defeated the two-time defending NBA champs, the Golden State Warriors. It was the first NBA Finals appearance for the Raptors. And the league's first finals were the games played outside of the United States. Home court advantage was awarded to Toronto, not to the Golden State Warriors, but to Toronto. For the first time in NBA history, two national anthems were played. The Star Spangled Banner for the U.S. and O Canada for Canada. And at the end of the game, there was one team left standing, the Toronto Raptors. Oh, please, seriously? I really wanted to wear my jersey today. I really wanted to wear that. What a perfect moment. Here's a question for each and every one of you. Have you ever wanted and have you ever experienced a perfect moment? A moment in time that was so complete, you could find hardly anything wrong with it at all. And I think we as human beings are chasing that ideal of perfection. We're always chasing it. I've heard many stories of brides wanting to have the perfect wedding, or the student wanting to get that perfect mark on an exam, or the composer wanting to compose the most beautiful song and get the lyrics just right. We get caught up in the lives of celebrities because they've got the wealth, the fame, and the wealth. And we think their lives are just so perfect. And I can go on for hours listing off examples like that. We take great joy in running after perfection. But the truth of the matter is, in our heart of hearts, we know that there's no such thing. There's no such thing as perfection. The lives of celebrities are often a complete mess. If you look behind the curtain, you can see lives of drug addiction, alcoholism, all kinds of messed up lives. But the facade that they put forward is one of perfection. You finish writing the song, and I've experienced this myself in writing songs and doing things. You put the final words, the final note. And you say, oh, I could do something better with that. I could tweak something here. And I remember when I had recorded my dad for his autobiography. And I spent 4 years putting that together in an audio book. So much so that when we were married, I was down in my little studio, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I would hear these words, Ken, put Ted Percy to bed, would you? It's time for bed.
That wasn't me saying that.
No, it wasn't Donette, but Donette probably agreed with it. Trying to tweak every note, trying to tweak every word so that it would be perfect. And I listened to it today and I said, I could have done that better. Even if you get a perfect mark on the exam, the stress of attaining it almost kills you. A perfect wedding doesn't always mean a perfect marriage. Perfection and completeness is unattainable. It's unattainable. And for me, this rings true in my own spiritual life. I look at myself and I say, why can't I be more like Jesus? Why am I always slipping in this area of my life? Why can't I do more? I feel that I'm constantly failing, constantly falling short. Why can't I just get my spiritual life in order? Why can't I just be a better Christian? Why can't I be completely sold right out to Jesus? So it's like living in a kind of tension all the time. I desire to be complete, and I desire to be perfect for God, but in my gut, I know I'm not, and I never will be. So there's a tension there. There's always a tension there. We've been looking at this series called Chosen the last couple of weeks. We've talked about what it means to be chosen by God and how we've been changed by God. And today I want to be talking about how I'm made complete by God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says this, He, Jesus, personally carried out our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds you are healed. As we dive into this passage, I want to discuss two simple truths. The first one is, Jesus carried away our sin. At the beginning of the COVID outbreak, Donette and I got very ill. We were sick for, 10, 15 days, both of us together. We weren't very good company. And we'd sleep all night, fitfully turning, feverish, shivering. We'd get up, come downstairs, have a glass of water, and get back in the couch and sleep for another 4 hours. We both were very ill. We do believe that both of us had COVID at the same time. And this was during the winter months, and I was really worried what the front of the house would look like. The garage and the driveway and the walkway, because it had snow. There was at least 2 feet of snow down, and I don't like cold, and I don't like heavy stuff. So I was going to have to get out there, as sick as I was, cold, lifting heavy stuff. Two things that I don't like doing. So in great fear and trepidation, I donned my snowsuit. And I walked out, and I opened the door, and I walked out. And to my surprise, the driveway and the walkway had been cleared by one of our church family. Donette and I love our church family. You see, it was my driveway, my walkway, my snow, my problem, my responsibility, but someone else came and cleared it away. Oh, what a burden was lifted off my heart and shoulders that day. Someone else took that away. What a blessing that was for both Donette and I at that time. Now get this. If you are in Jesus, He has moved the snow from your driveway. He has taken the sin away. He bore your sin on the cross of Calvary. Do you believe that? He has removed the sin from your life and carried it in His body right to the cross. You are clean. You are perfect. You are complete because Jesus has removed the imperfections of sin. We long for perfection. We chase after it. We long to be made complete. We long to live our lives for Jesus. The problem is, we try to do it by ourselves. You can't do it by yourself. We try to get out in the cold and lift in the heavy snow, and we try to clean the driveway ourselves when we're sick. The snow is too heavy. The snow is too deep. We can't do it. We can't be complete on our own. Jesus has to come. Jesus has to come. If you've lied to someone this week, know that Jesus can carry your sin away. If you've got drunk this week, if you've done something stupid, you know that Jesus can carry the sin away. If you've done something sexually immoral this week, you know that Jesus can carry your sin away. If you struggled with greed, pride, fear, know that Jesus can carry your sin away. You and I are made perfect and complete because of Jesus, because He lives. I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that I know that I know He holds my future. And life is worth the living now because He lives. And I am Him. I'm His. This is why we pray. This is why we gather in this holy place to pray, to worship. This is why we sing. We are complete in Christ. Those two words there make all the difference in the world. If you're not in Christ, you are not complete. A couple of words of caution here. Because our sin is removed from us, that doesn't mean we just keep on sinning. That's what's known as cheap grace. That's cheap grace. No. If we love Jesus and we're found in Him, we don't want to sin. We don't want to sin. Because our sin has removed us, it doesn't mean there aren't any consequences. No. There are still real-world consequences for the wrongs that we've done. but the sin itself has been removed. Jesus has removed our sin. The second point, the second reason we are complete, because his wounds healed us. Now, when we hear the words healing, we often think of physical healing, but it goes much deeper than that. It's all about the spiritual as well. And it actually means to be made whole or to be made complete. So when the Bible tells us by his wounds you are healed, it's really saying by his wounds you've been made whole. You've been made complete. Not only has he taken away our sin, but he's healed our brokenness. Listen to that verse once again. By his wounds you have been healed. Now, I don't know grammar very well. It wasn't my best forte in school. But I recognize the past tense there when I see it. By his wounds you have been made whole. You have been healed. It's not you are being healed. It's not like we're hooked up to an IV in a hospital room somewhere and we're gradually getting healed. No, you are healed. Do you believe it? You believe that? We're not waiting on a doctor. We're not waiting in the waiting room to be seen by a nurse. Because we've all already had a visitation by the great physician, and he's healed us. If we are in Christ, if we accepted him as our personal Savior into our lives, we are healed. It's final. And Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. Now, understand this, and I'm looking at myself here. There's probably a lot of us here today who say, Ken, I don't feel like I've been healed. I don't feel like I'm complete. We're not spiritually healed yet. It's because we're feeling the effects of a broken world. We still struggle with sin, but hear this. Sin cannot kill you anymore. Before Christ, sin had power over you and it could kill you physically and spiritually. But now you have been healed. You have been made complete. You might still feel the effects of sin. What you've done in the past, you may be feeling the effects of sin in your body. But it can't kill you. Sin can't kill you because his wounds have healed us. How does a wound heal? You might ask, Ken, how does a wound, how can a wound or a laceration or a cut heal you? Well, if you've got heart disease, you go and see a heart specialist and he might have to do open heart surgery and he produces a wound and heals you. If you've ever had a heart attack, the doctors might need to cut a wound to perform open heart surgery. And that wound is part of the healing process. In the case of Jesus, his wounds were as necessary as open heart surgery. Jesus had to be wounded so you and I could be healed. You see, the world today doesn't take sin very seriously, but God does. So much so that Jesus had to die. He had to be lacerated. He had to be cut. He had to be beaten. He had to die. God is perfect, holy, set apart, and our sin against him is horrible, and it has to be punished. But instead of punishing us, God punished Jesus. God knew that we could never bear the weight of that punishment. So instead, he sent his son to earth to carry it for us. And listen what I say here. Jesus absorbed every punishment for every sin that every person has ever committed. Let me read that again. Jesus absorbed every punishment for every sin that every person has ever committed. Wow. All I've got to say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All we've got to do is accept His gift. By His wounds, we are healed. You are no longer punished. It is final. It is finished. All we have to do is accept that gift that Jesus gave at the cross of Calvary. I often share about that scene at the cross, about the two thieves on either side. One thief mocked him. The other said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. So he gets up to the pearly gates and St. Peter says, what theology did you believe? Were you Calvinistic? Were you? He said, no, the guy in the middle cross said I could come. How many Bible studies did you go to? Well, no. The guy on the middle cross just said I could come. Did you wear your uniform every Sunday? Oh, no. The guy on the middle cross just said I could come. All we have to do is say, yes, Jesus, I believe. And I accept your gift. You may be here in our midst this morning. You may be online with our online congregation. And if you want to accept that gift this morning, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I accept you now. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. And I will serve you for the rest of my days. I pray this in and through the name of now my personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, Donette and I and our team here would love to hear from you. You can contact us online. Go to our website, www.sawhitby.ca. You can leave a comment there, a prayer request. We'd love to connect with you. If you said that prayer here today, this morning, come and see us afterwards. People are getting saved. Donette mentioned it already. Around these tables, aren't they? People's lives are changing because God is alive and well in the Whitby Salvation Army. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe it. With every fiber of my being. So it comes down to this. We want to be perfect. We want to be used by God. We want to be everything that a Christian is supposed to be, but I can't do it on my own. I keep trying so hard. Well, that's the issue there. You're trying too hard. Instead of focusing on what you're doing, focus on what Jesus has done. Instead of focusing on what you're doing, focus on what Jesus has done. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise God.